You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Oh God, as we come aside now from the cares of this life to be ministered to of the Spirit, we do pray for your cleansing work as you do that which is necessary in every heart and mind here, that your purposes might be accomplished right here and right now. In the spirit of need and confidence in your grace, we commit our life afresh in your hands toward these ends, looking unto you now for a blessing. And this because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Last week we dealt with the incarnate Word of God in its organic similarity to the written Word of God. And we dealt primarily with the names and titles of the incarnate Word, showing the parallel with the written Word. Tonight, we want to deal with the attributes of the incarnate Word, again showing their organic union and similarity with the written Word. And I think we began last week by showing in the field of attributes how that while the incarnate Word is divine and yet human, likewise the written Word, it is eternal, likewise the written Word, and we got down to immutable, that is, it's changeless. I know we've dealt with the scripture not, but let's turn now, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13, 8. And you see that the incarnate Word is immutable. That is, it's changeless. He's changeless. We're talking about now not the written Word, but the incarnate Word, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. As he is changeless, he is always the same. And likewise, the written Word. Turning, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. And likewise, John 10:35. First Matthew 24 and verse 35. Matthew 24:35 and John 10:35. Matthew 24 verse 35 reads thus: Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then in John 10 and verse 35. If you call them gods unto whom the Word of God came, notice, and the Scripture cannot be broken or changed, if you want to put it on that basis. So the Word of God is immutable. It does not change. Neither does the incarnate Word. You see, brother, it's important to see this comparison because you cannot talk about the incarnate Word apart from the written Word, because the incarnate Word fulfills the written Word, and the written Word proclaims the incarnate Word. They're inseparable. These two can never be separated, one from the other. And this, you see, to understand this helps you to see the authority. We cannot see the incarnate Word, but we can see the written Word. Visibly, physically. And we see that one is never separated from the other. It's not Bible worship, as some people may say, but it does let us see the authority, you see, so that there's no question there. Not only is is the written word, an incarnate word, immutable, but it, the incarnate word is full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verses 14, 27. John chapter 1. I was speaking here, of course, of the incarnate word. John chapter 1, verse 14. Not the written word here, the incarnate word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also in verse 27, but I don't see anything about it particularly. It is he is coming, he after me is preferred before me. That's been that word 10 months. I don't know how I put that verse in. But anyhow, he is full of grace and truth. Likewise, the written word, the commands of the written word are truth also. Psalm 119, verse 151. Psalm 119, verse 151. Now, if I go too fast for you sometimes, you tell me and I'll slow down. Psalm 119, verse 151. All thy commandments are truth. Commands. This is the written word it's talking about. Likewise, the word, the incarnate word, is true. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, we have the incarnate word. Picture is true. Revelation 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, 7. Now keep in mind we're talking about the incarnate word. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. Speaking of the incarnate word, he is true. Likewise, the written word, Psalm 19, verse 9. The incarnate word is true. The written word is true. Psalm 19, 9. The word judgments here is judicial requirements. So it's talking about that which is recorded in the scriptures. The latter phrase of the ninth verse of Psalm 19. Your Bible says the judgments of the Lord are true, but they as judicial requirements. So it's speaking here of that which is recorded in the written word as being true. Likewise, in that same psalm, you notice that not only the judicial requirements of the Lord are true, but the judicial requirements of the Lord are righteous also. So that the written word is righteous, just as the living word or the incarnate word is righteous. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John is just before the Revelation in Jude. 1 John chapter 2. You see that not only is the written word righteous, but also the incarnate word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Speaking of the incarnate word here. We just saw a minute ago that in the psalm that the written word is also righteous. The incarnate word is precious. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 7. The incarnate word is precious. unto you therefore that believe, he is precious. This is the incarnate word. Now likewise the written word. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Now that is the incarnate word precious, likewise the written word. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So that the written word is precious as well as the incarnate word. The incarnate word is chief among thousands. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 10. Now the Song of Solomon follows the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes follows the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs follows the Psalms. And I know most people don't ever read the Song of Solomon, so too much of that. But the Song of Solomon declares the incarnate word as the chief among 10,000. Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 10. Song of Solomon, everybody got it? Notice. My beloved is white and ruby, the chiefest among 10,000. This Song of Solomon is a portrait of Christ. And this should dispel anything about the appearance of Christ. He was ruby and white. His head is as of the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Now that was in the days of his flesh. When you see him in the book of Revelation, he's white, his hair is as white as snow. That is called the Ancient of Days. But in the days of his flesh, this is a little bit of a portrait of what he looked like. But in any case, not only is the incarnate word the chiefest among 10,000, and while we're at it, you'll also notice in the fifth chapter that he is in verse 16. His mouth is sweet. The incarnate word is sweet. So we don't have to turn back there. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's sweet. Also, in the written word is better than 10,000. Psalms 119, verse 72. Psalm 119, that's right back of you a little ways, and verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And likewise, the sweetness of the word, the written word, also in the Psalm 119 and verse 103. Notice the written word is sweet as well as the incarnate word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. You able to follow this? I hope I'm not going too fast. Making the comparison, of course. Now, the incarnate word is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. The incarnate word is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, is the incarnate word. Likewise, the written word, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We saw that the incarnate word is the power of God. Now note that the written word is likewise. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it that is the gospel is what? Power of God. And so that Not only is the incarnate Word the power of God, but also the written Word. Then, if you want another reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the written Word is also called the power of God there. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Likewise. Now the incarnate Word is the wisdom of God. That again is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. Same verse we're looking at. Jesus Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So that the incarnate Word is not only the power of God, he is the wisdom of God. Likewise, the written Word. You notice 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and 7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect and mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is talking about the wisdom of written Word, which God ordained before the world under our glory. So that the incarnate Word is not only the wisdom of God, the written Word is likewise. The incarnate Word of God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians precedes 1 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Talking about the incarnate Word. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. For the Lord is faithful. Not only are the incarnate Word faithful, but likewise the written Word. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Titus follows 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Holding fast the faithful Word. So that the Word of God in the written or in the incarnate is faithful. Likewise, the incarnate Word is holy. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Incarnate Word is holy. Incarnate Word is holy. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. This is the angel Gabriel talking to Mary. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Acts 3:14 also proclaims the same thing. Acts 3:14, you know, additional reference there. Acts 3:14, speaking of the incarnate Word. But you denied the Holy One. This is Peter talking to the house of Israel. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to begin. Not only is the incarnate Word holy, but the written Word is holy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. And that from a child, speaking, this is Paul, we're writing to Timothy. From a child I have known the holy scriptures. So that this, the written Word is holy, the incarnate Word is holy. And also you have Romans chapter 1 verse 2 if you want to put that down for reference. It speaks of the written Word as being holy. Not only so, but the incarnate Word is tried. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. Incarnate Word is tried or tested. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. It's a prophecy concerning the rock and the stone Therefore thus saith Jehovah God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, and a tried stone, tested, a precious cornerstone. Matthew chapter 4 also brings up the same idea of the incarnate word being tried. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Write that down. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. We don't need to read all 11 verses, but this is the trial of Jesus in the wilderness. You know, when he was following his baptism under John, so then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tried, not tempted. Well, tempted, he was tempted to that way, but this was a trial. This is what Isaiah is writing about. He was tried. And then the written word is also tried. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31. Samuel goes way back prior to the book of Kings. Way back. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. You see is the incarnate word tried, tested, but likewise the written word is tried, tested. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of Jehovah is tried, tested. Thank you. Not only so, but the incarnate word is a living word. Acts 3:15. Acts 3, killed the Prince of Life, the living word, in God's ways. That's the incarnate word he's talking about there. Likewise in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John 5:11. It's the living word. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Not only is the incarnate word living, but likewise the written word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. See, this is speaking of Christ. We have a comparison here of Christ, the living word, and the written word, all homogenized right together. It can have reference to either one. So that you have another homogenizing of the two in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 22 through 25. 1 Peter, verse 22 through verse 25. Seeing you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of Jehovah endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So it's a living word, whether we're speaking about the person of Christ or the written word, either way. Not only so, but the living word is supreme. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We can hear the incarnate word. For what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. The living word is supreme. The written word is supreme. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name in thy loving, for loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So that not only is the written and the incarnate word supreme, likewise the written word is supreme and exalted to likewise above all thy name. In the person of Christ, he's far above all principalities. And yet the written word has been thought even above our name, see. So in every sense, you see, the organic union between the incarnate word and the written word on hand and glove. The incarnate word is the creatorship invested in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Colossians. Hope I'm not going too fast for you guys. But there's so much of this that I don't know how else to get at it. We're looking at the creatorship now of the incarnate Son of God. Incarnate Word. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Speaking to the incarnate one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, or every creature. For by him were all things created, but in heaven, or in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So the creatorship is invested in the incarnate word. Likewise, the same truth is brought out in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. Incarnate word, we're speaking about this creatorship. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. Incidentally, following Easter, we're going to start the book of Hebrews. I've had several people, which I think Tommy is one of them, that talked to me about teaching the book of Hebrews. So we're going to start that after Easter. Be in prayer about this. We're going to spend a lot of time in this book. I don't know whether we'll start it on Sunday mornings down church or here. If we start Sunday mornings down there, we're going to start some studies here in Timothy. And first in Timothy, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy and chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And then we will proceed from that teaching in Timothy toward the Mideast question, which is very apropos in our time. I'm sure you've got on it. We'll either have it one or the other. You hear it at the church, but these are the two where our emphasis is going to be after Easter. All right, now, the incarnate word as the creator. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken in the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, whom he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we see that the incarnate word to him is creatorship. And likewise the written word, Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the world was prepared by the word of God. So that the written word also referred to as the creatorship. And they also, the incarnate word is the object of faith, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Notice that the written word is the object, the incarnate word, I'm sorry, is the object of our faith. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the object. See, he is the object. Now, the written word is the word of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, verse 17. Romans 8. The incarnate word is the object of faith. The written word is the word of faith. Romans 10, verse 8 and verse 17. For what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Also verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So that not only is the incarnate word the object of faith, but it also, the written word, is the word of faith.
Now,
one is the object, the other is the instrument. The incarnate word is the object of faith. The written word is the instrument of faith. But you can see the relationship, the similarity, everything about it, you see. In other words, you can never have one without the other. It's, you cannot talk about the incarnate, Jesus Christ is incarnate as God, without the written word. And the written word has no substance without the written word. So, I mean, they're necessary, one to the other. The incarnate word is the reconciler, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. The incarnate word is the reconciler, chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. Notice this, the incarnate word who is the reconciler. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself, notice, by Jesus Christ. The incarnate word is the reconciler. Also in verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Christ is the incarnate word. Likewise, the written word is the reconciler. Verse 19, same chapter. It is to wit, the written word, bearing witness, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses of them, and committed us what? The word of reconciliation. So that on the one hand you have the incarnate word as the reconciler, on the other hand you have the written word proclaimed as the reconciler. One and the same. The incarnate word is worthy of hearing. Matthew 17, verse 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. He is worthy of hearing. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The written word is worthy of hearing. Psalm 103, verse 20. The written word is worthy of hearing. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless Jehovah, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word, so that the written word is worthy of being heard. well as the incarnate word. And then the incarnate word is worthy of praise. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Worthy of praise. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Incarnate word. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he is worthy of praise. Likewise the written word, Isaiah 56, verses 4 and 10. Isaiah 56, verse 4 and 10. The written word is worthy of praise. Isaiah 56, verses 4 and 10. For thus saith Jehovah unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. And verse 10 words. His watchmen are blind, and they are all ignorant. They're done with God. I've got down the wrong letters. Look at this. I'm sorry, it's not Isaiah, it's Psalm. I'm sorry, it's Psalm 56, not Isaiah 56. Can't even read my own writing. 56, verses 4. Mine are looking at the written word is worthy of praise. Psalm 56, verses 4 and 10. In God I will praise his word. And verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In Jehovah will I praise his word. And so on. Now, this is the last one we're going to look at. The incarnate word is confirmed by signs and wonders. The incarnate word. John 20 and verse 30. The incarnate word is confirmed by signs and wonders. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John 20. John 20, verse 30. Incarnate word is confirmed by signs and wonders. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written signs, in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And now the written word is confirmed by signs and wonders. Mark 16, verse 20. Mark 16, and verse 20.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.